Button leave meeting.
Okay, so we are starting our first session, our first BrailleSense 6 evening session, and we're going to be with you for the next 5 weeks. This is a sight and sound technology initiative, very kindly supported by our friends at Selvus in Korea, and in particular by Jenny Axler, who's come along tonight. It's very early in the morning for Jenny. I believe it's 4 a.m., Jenny, where you are?
It is 4 a.m.
We really appreciate you getting up. I know some people are in the UK. I think we have Kerry from New Zealand, which I think is 8 a.m. And for us, it's a very civilized 8 p.m. But we really are grateful that Jenny has joined us today, because Jenny's going to be with us for this session, and she's also going to be with us for the last session. And today we're talking about, this really is for people who've come from the BrailleSense U2 models or earlier to the BrailleSense 6. So if you skipped the Polaris, this session is for you. And even if you didn't skip the Polaris and you just want to have a listen, or you want to ask some general questions at the end, this one's for you. But before we do that, I just want to briefly go through the content for the next 5 weeks, give you a sense of what we are going to be doing. And of course, as you will have read on the blurb about these sessions, you can attend whatever you want, or not, as the case may be. So it's completely up to you what you choose to attend. And if you can't attend to something, it will be on our YouTube and podcast page very shortly after. So today, which is the first session on the 14th of October. And by the way, World Sight Day. So happy World Sight Day to everybody. I think that's significant that we're starting this on World Sight Day, completely accidental on the part of myself and my colleagues at Sight and Sound. Today, as I said a moment ago, we're going to be looking at the U2, skipping to BrailleSense 6 and what you will enjoy if you were to do that. And this came back from feedback from some sessions we ran during the summer. People were saying, I want to know more about the differences between the very older BrailleSense models and the current BrailleSense 6. Next Thursday, we're going to talk about finding, downloading, and listening to podcasts. And this is something that's going to be coming very soon to BrailleSense 6 devices. Very exciting feature, and I'm looking forward to talking a little bit about that next week. On the 28th of October, we're going to talk about language profiles and downloading voices and how to use language profiles. And I think, you know, this will be an interesting one because we've had a lot of queries about this and how it all works. And I think language profiles are fantastic. And I know that Jenny was certainly drove that one with the team in Korea. And it's really nice what has been created. We've been setting it up in schools already and kids love it. So you'll get to see that if you come in 2 weeks' time. On the 4th of November, we're going to show something called Wiki Search, which is also new. You won't have seen yet. And this is all about accessing information quickly, looking up words in a document, doing searches, getting access to information very fast without ever having to leave the application that you're in. And we'll talk a lot more about that. And on the final night that we're all together, the 11th of November, it's an apps extravaganza, and Jenny's going to come back. And we're also going to put a little panel together of people who are using Android apps on the BrailleSense 6 and ask you what's your favorite apps, and maybe ask our panel to maybe show us some of the apps they use. And we'll talk a little bit, give you some strategies for how to use the Android screen reader on BrailleSense 6, because of course it is slightly different to the traditional BrailleSense 6 user interface. And I think we'll have a lot of fun, but of course we want to have lots of fun throughout. These sessions are informal and they have been designed to give you a sense of what's going on the BrailleSense 6. We're not covering anything by any means, and there may be things that we're asked about during the sessions that we might try and cover at the end of each session. So there is some Q&A time at the end of each session if you'd like to ask questions. So before I switch on the unmute so that people can unmute and chat to us if they wish, I'll just tell you that there's a lot of information on the Sight and Sound YouTube channel and podcast page already in relation to the BrailleSense 6. Jenny and the team at Selvus have a whole load of videos, and I think people at Hims Inc. are creating videos. So there's plenty of resources outside of this session if you want to go and find out more. But we're delighted to be with you for the next 5 Thursdays. I'm really looking forward to this, and I think it's going to be a great session. during the time over the next 5 weeks, if you want to get in touch with us and email any questions, you can send an email to sales@sightandsound.co.uk and just mark it for Stuart, and it will be sent on to me if you have any queries in relation to the course or the content or anything that you want following up with. Or you can also email me directly. You would have received my email when you registered for the course. So let's just do a bit of Zoom management here so that people can unmute themselves if they wish. And then I'm going to hand over to Jenny in a moment. Just one sec. So I'm going to hand over to Jenny. And Jenny, I suppose.
I just wondered, did you want to mention that the training courses that you've already done? That you have already?
Good idea. We have a 4-series training course that we ran in August, which covered email, setting up email. We looked at the dictionary. We looked at Bookshare, and we did some work on apps. And we also did Google Drive. So they're on the Sight and Sound YouTube and Sight and Sound podcast page. And I suppose these, what we're doing now, were fed from the courses we ran in August and from a user feedback. And we always want feedback. So do please get in touch with us if we can help. Jenny, we're delighted to have you here. I should just add, by the way, if people want to unmute themselves when we get to questions, you'll be able to do that. You can also, if you'd prefer, just raise your hand. Alt and Y is the keystroke, or you can press the raise hand button if you're on a mobile device. Or you can also, I'm just bringing somebody else in from the waiting room, apologies. So give me one moment while I do that. If you want to raise your hand, you can press Alt and Y, or you can also type in the chat window if you wish to do that. So again, everybody's very welcome, and we're delighted to see so many people here. So as we said a few minutes ago, this very first session is to introduce you to the differences between the BrailleSense, the older BrailleSense U2 models and before, and the BrailleSense 6. And if you skipped the Polaris, this session is very definitely for you. But even if you didn't and you have questions, this session is for you too. And Jenny, you know, I think when I saw the Polaris, it was the end of 2017. So it's actually quite a while ago. I remember thinking, first of all, when I was navigating through the main menu, oh, there's nothing different about this. It just looks the very same. And then I suddenly saw a Play Store. I said, oh, it's new. So the fact that you switched to Android, that presumably gave you guys a whole load of new possibilities.
It did. So one of the things that we actually wanted to do on purpose was to give you a consistent interface, to give you what you recognize, but to put it in more modern terms. So not only did it give us the ability to install third-party apps, but we're also able to update things, especially those of you who are coming from the U2. You probably know that you can almost not really use the browser anymore. Wi-Fi protocols. There was something I was thinking about earlier and I can't even remember what it is. There are a lot of things like that that are so much more modern now. So a lot of it's under the hood. So what we tried to do was give you a consistent interface, give you programs that you know, shortcuts that you know, all of that. We tried not to mess with that too much so that you would be able to use it. Plus, we didn't want you to freak out about Android because there are some differences. And definitely doing things on the screen reader side is, you know, slightly different, as Stuart will demonstrate, you know, throughout this training. But most of what's going on, or a lot of what's going on, is actually under the hood. Everything is faster. It's more robust. It's more, everything's more powerful, better performance, more modern. Like I said, there's a lot less limitations with Android as far as what you can do. So I would say, you know, we tried to really balance the two and give you the modernity and consistency.
I think you and I have talked on previous webinars and podcasts and just also to each other about the whole note taker versus computer and what is a note taker these days. And for me, the older U2 was probably the classic note taker. And mm-hmm. now you've added a whole load of, this is like when I describe the Braille Sense 6 to sighted people, in particular to teachers, I call it a Braille tablet. This is essentially what it is. Really.
Sure. I think so. And the other interesting thing about this is, you know, you do go through stages. Even Windows does this. You know, for example, you had Vista, which wasn't popular, and then you had Windows 7 that was. Windows 8 wasn't. Windows 10 is good. And I think even the same can be true for hardware. So for us, the Polaris was the first go. But it was the same way. The Braille Sense Plus was the first go. Then the U2, as you said, was like the gold standard. And then, of course, we had the same thing where we had the Polaris was the first go. But I think now with the Braille Sense 6, we've really arrived. And it is interesting that a lot of people are doing this leap from the U2 to the Braille Sense 6. And I think it's a valid path. That's kind of interesting. The other thing that we'll go through and what is interesting is that we've brought a lot of the popular U2 standard things back in the Braille Sense 6 that were not in the Polaris. So this is a really great.
Like the database, exactly.
Yeah, we have the macros in the Polaris, but we have the manager, the document reader, the web radio, wiki search. All of these things were actually in the U2, but were not in Polaris.
So one question people would probably have is you're working away with your U2 for many years quite happily, and then you switch to Braille Sense 6, getting your data exported. Maybe you've lots of data that you want to get safely onto the 6. How would people go about that? Have you any strategies to help?
Well, the unfortunate part is that there's no one way. It depends on what you are doing. And you may actually need to contact support to sort of get you through some of this, because there are a lot of different things that you need to do. To back up your data, that's easy. Obviously, you can just back up, you know, everything on the flash disk and bring it in. You will, of course, have to set up your email accounts and, you know, your Wi-Fi and all of that. We've always told you with the U2 that if you back up your database folder, everything comes with it. Well, unfortunately, because this is a change in operating system, you're not going to be able to do that directly. So this is a really complicated question to answer. So the first answer is, for your data, it's just a simple copy and paste. That's not a big deal. You can use an SD card, a USB drive, whatever, you know, you want. So there's no problem there. Where it gets a little more complicated, let's say email, for example. We have an option. Actually, I'll just show you real fast.
File manager, F.
I'll go to email.
Unread, one attached.
Okay, and I'm going to file, go to F, file.
Write new message, import, export EML, import EML, I, dialog backspace, I menu item.
Right there. So if you copy your EML folders, you know that on the U2, you can actually see them directly. If you copy them to your flash disk of your Braille Sense 6, you can use this import email function, and it will import those EML messages into the current mailbox that you're in your email. So that's one thing to know. Another thing to know, let's say like your database, if you have old databases, if you have contacts, you can export to CSV in the address manager. You can also do this in the database manager. Of course, these have the import from CSV function, so you can move things in that way. Now, the other thing though, too, is to know, like for appointments and contacts, if you have something that syncs with your Google account already, when you log into that on the Braille Sense 6, it's automatically going to come in. You actually don't need to import it. It will automatically synchronize as long as you have it set to do that, and it will by default. So some things are simpler, some things are a little more complicated. I suppose it depends on what kind of data you're trying to import. Some of it does have to be set up manually, but a lot of it you really can bring in even with a different operating system. I don't know if that answers your question. It's not a simple answer.
But I like your mention of the synchronizing data. Because certainly I found that very useful. I signed into my Microsoft Office 365 account on my Braille Sense 6, and all my contacts sync with my phone. And now if I update a contact on the Braille Sense, it gets updated on the phone and everywhere else. So that cloud synchronization is now available on the Braille Sense 6, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and it's we support Exchange email, but we don't support Exchange calendar, etc. But there's a little interesting workaround for that too. If you install like something like the Outlook app, the Android app, all you have to do is sign into your account and it'll bring it all in. So even though we might not be able to do it with our applications, you don't even have to really work hard to get it, you know, from other sources, and it'll still bring it in.
Okay, so could you, I thought one of the things we might do would be go through the main menu of the six so that people might see what has changed or what might be different if they were coming from the U2.
Okay, so a lot of this is going to look familiar. Some of it is just arranged differently. So we'll start
this. File manager, F.
So we have the file manager. One thing to point out is that we are not using Eloquence anymore. We are using Vocalizer TTS. Unfortunately, Code Factory does not make Eloquence available anymore. If you have had another Android device and you've been fortunate enough to have purchased it and it's in your library, you can still get it. But that's a disappointment for some people and something that you should be aware of. We do have many, many voices. So this is just the one that I'm choosing to use. This is not the default, in fact. However, it is different. So just be aware of that unfortunately, Eloquence is not part of the original package. Okay, so we have the file manager.
Word processor.
Word processor.
Notepad, N.
And we have the notepad, which is our second text editor. We have split things up. Let's see. I can't even remember. So I've got a U2 here too. So we're going to check.
Word processor, W.
Okay. There's no... So... at the beginning of the menu here on the U2, we have the file manager.
F, word processor, document reader, K, email, E.
So these are the main programs at the top. Here we have this notepad, which is the second text editor. The word processor in the Braille Sense 6 handles things a little bit more advanced. We can have a real slide view of PowerPoint, for example. We can deal with formatted doc and docx files. So we have a second text editor called the notepad that deals with like text and BRF and PDF, which converts to text on open and EPUB, etc. So that's what this notepad is.
Email, E.
We have email, which in addition to IMAP and POP3 also supports Exchange, Microsoft Exchange.
Media, M.
We have our media menu. Now in this media menu.
Media player, M.
We have the media player.
FM radio, R.
We have the FM radio.
Podcasts, P.
And podcasts. So you'll notice two things. One, the podcast app is different and unique. The second thing is that the Daisy player is not here. So we'll get to that in a moment.
Task name, email, file manager, F.
Just a second, sorry. Word
note, media, M. Books, K.
So under media, we now have a books menu.
Daisy player, D.
So this is where the Daisy player now goes.
Document reader, K.
We also have a similar document reader to what you used to have in the U2, and that is here.
Online Daisy, O.
We have our online Daisy.
Bookshare download, B.
And we do have a similar Bookshare download application. And again, this actually is new to the Braille Sense 6. It was not in Polaris. Neither was the document reader. So for those of you who are actually moving now, in some ways, it's actually more similar to what you have now than if you went from U2 to Polaris. So this is kind of interesting.
Daisy player, D. Books, K. Okay. Organizer, O.
We have our organizer.
Address manager, A.
And this is going to be exactly the same. We have the address manager.
Schedule manager.
Schedule S, manager.
Database manager, D.
And the database manager. And again, that was not in Polaris, but has now been brought to the Braille Sense 6.
Address organizer, O. Web tools, B.
Okay, our web tools.
Web browser, B.
We have our web browser.
Google search, G.
We have our Google search.
Wiki search, W.
And the wiki search. which some of our Polaris users don't actually know, originated in the U2 as well. So again, that was not in Polaris, but is in the BrailleSense 6.
Web browser, B, web tools, extras, X.
Okay, our extras
Excel
menu,
viewer, X.
We still have our Excel viewer.
Sense dictionary, D.
The Sense dictionary, now this is a new thing in that in the BrailleSense 6, this is provided free of charge. We have US and UK English, as well as a thesaurus. Then we also have Spanish, Italian, and French bilingual dictionaries. And any of these are available on all units. So
color reader, C.
We also have a color reader. This is something for those of you who have used our Blaze products. This is similar to what's on the Blaze.
Color reader, C. Extras.
So that's extras.
Programs are.
We do have a programs menu. We do have the Sense Bible. It is now available for both Polaris, and with this next release, it'll also be available for the BrailleSense 6. So if you have that, we have a programs menu. We also have a couple of developers who have the SDK, a developer kit, and have created a couple of other applications. If they're not quite available yet, but they will be, and those would also appear in the programs menu if you decided to take advantage of those.
Utilities, U.
We have our utilities menu.
Calculator, C.
Our calculator.
BrailleSense Math, M.
This is something new. This is actually a graphics calculator.
Display time and date, D. Okay. World clock, O.
That's also something new. It's a very simple application that just allows you to enter multiple time zones so you can easily check the time in different locales, which I need all the time considering my job.
Display compass heading, A, wake up alarm, A, stopwatch, W, terminal for screen reader, display network status, display power status, backup restore flash disk, K.
This is another new little utility that lets you easily backup and restore your flash disk. And we also backup the database manager, the database folder. So although you cannot take the information from your U2 to your BrailleSense 6. Once you have put everything in the BrailleSense 6, it's very easy to back up, let's say, your Wi-Fi profiles, your account settings, your various options. It's so much is stored in the, things like language profiles are stored in the database folder, macros that you create as well. So there's a lot of information in there. So the backup restore flash disks backs up not only your files and data, but it backs up your database folder, which gives you all this. It makes it very, very easy if you need to reset the unit or something.
Format F.
Okay, format.
Sleep timer J. Macro manager R.
Macro manager.
Upgrade BrailleSense firmware. Upgrade BrailleSense firmware. Okay. U. Utilities, U.
So most of that is the same. It's going to be familiar. So I'm not going through everything.
Settings,
there.
S.
Okay. And our
set time and date, T.
Okay. Again.
Set up internet, Bluetooth manager, menu manager, M.
All this.
Backup restore BrailleSense settings, K. Change device name, D. Quick start guide, Q.
And we do have a quick start guide that you can easily get to and reset various settings, various BrailleSense settings. This comes up usually when you first receive your unit and also a lot of times after an upgrade.
Password protection, A.
And we have password protection. That's
in initialize BrailleSense options, voice options, V.
Okay, so this is a new thing because you're able to download several voices, both from Vocalizer, which comes on the unit, but you can also install third-party voices from the Play Store. So you're basically able to use anything that's available. As I explained about Eloquence, you may have a little difficulty getting hold of that if you haven't purchased it before, but anything that's available, you're able to, for Android, you're able to install it and use it here.
Language profiles, L.
And here's our language profiles.
BrailleSense global options, O.
Okay, and we specify that it's BrailleSense global options because we want to be sure to differentiate between that and the Android options.
Android backup reset, R.
There's Android backup reset.
Android system settings, E.
And this is all basically the Android global options, but they call it Android system settings.
Android system settings,
so that's our settings.
Set time and settings, help, H.
Now, the help, let me go through the rest of the menu, then I'll talk about help.
Play Store, P. Okay. All apps, A. Information about the BrailleSense, I.
Okay, so we have now some, so the all apps, if I go, I'm going to go
apps,
back
to A. A Polyvision.
Okay, so this is basically just an alphabetical list of all of the Android apps that I have installed. So this is how you get to the third-party Android apps. It does come with normal things like Google Chrome and calculator, calendar, contacts, you know, the stock Google Android applications are included when you receive it. And then, of course, you can log into your Google account on the Play Store, which you saw about that, and download other applications. Okay, let me...
Task name, email, file manager.
Sorry about that. So the other thing I want to talk a little bit about is the help, because it's very, very different. In the U2, you basically have a bunch of TXT files, and it's not very navigable. You have a table of contents, but you're not able to directly get to anything. And this has been a frustration. In the Polaris and the BrailleSense 6, you now have navigable help. Actually, I'm going to show that really quick. Is it okay, Stuart?
Absolutely.
All right.
Help.docs open. Navigation menu dialog. Welcome to BrailleSense Help. Press space H to get a list of keystrokes for navigation. Introduction 117 list item.
So now I'm placed in a list of all the various options. So I can press space 4.
Basic functions of customizing your note file manager 47, word processor 57, notepad 617 list item.
So any of you who have seen the user manual, this also looks very similar to how the U2 manual is structured. But what's nice about this now, I can tab forward with F3. This is the notepad section.
File menu 16 list item.
I have all the subsections of the notepad.
Edit menu 26, insert menu, go to menu 4, read menu 56 list item.
Now, if I want to go to any of these sections, I can just press enter.
6.5 read menu.
And here I am right at it. Mm-hmm. So the entire manual is completely navigable, but it's also still a whole document. So even from here, if I wanted to use like space F to find a certain amount of text from within the whole manual, I can do that. So this is super flexible in that I can search the whole manual for something, but I can also get to this navigation and navigate the entire thing instead of having different sections for each chapter and each subject. So it's navigable as a whole, and it's actually navigable in that you can actually press enter. Instead of just seeing the table of contents, you can actually press enter and go to the specific section. So that is a serious improvement on the U2.
Jenny, thanks a million. The one thing I just wanted to as well mention, and we did do a session on this in August, it's on our podcast page for anyone who's interested, is Google Drive on the Polaris and BrailleSense 6. If people have skipped the U2 from the U2 to 6, you will find Google Drive really useful. It's so well integrated, I suppose, into the file manager. It's really good.
Yep. You just see it in your drive list. It just appears like the flash disk or an SD card or anything.
So you can copy your files onto the Google Drive. And obviously, if you have anything on Google Drive already, you can move them back to the BrailleSense 6, which is really handy.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Jenny, for taking us on a tour. So I suppose from the perspective of new users, people switching over to this thing, the user interface is still the same. They'll just have all this extra functionality, and you said a lot faster processor as well.
Yes, everything is faster. Everything is using modern protocols, but we did try to do our best to keep the interface as consistent as possible so that you know what to do. You don't have to relearn everything. The thing that you'll have to relearn, there are a couple of things I think that throw people. Of course, the Android side's going to be different, which you guys will talk about later, so I won't really go into a lot of detail. We do have a mobile screen reader that we created that runs on top of it's using the Google accessibility platform, but we have a few extra things like first letter navigation, top and bottom navigation, et cetera. So this is actually, what was I saying? The mobile screen reader. It's a little bit different. And Android apps, of course, the other thing about them is that they're only as good as their accessibility, their inherent accessibility. We can't I was going to say we can't make things accessible that aren't, but we do actually have a graphics labeler. So in some ways, that's not as true anymore with the BrailleSense 6 especially. And Android has an excellent graphics labeler that has managed to make a lot of things that didn't used to be accessible. But for the most part, you know, there are things... So sorry, that's my... I have too many gadgets. Things are talking to me. I didn't even realize it was mine for a second. Okay, it is 4 a.m. I'm sorry. I'm really scatterbrained this early in the morning. So the mobile screen reader, that's going to be one thing that's different. The other thing I think that throws people, you know, well, in the U.S., it would be things like Bard Mobile. There's some things, okay, say YouTube, Twitter, things that we used to do on the U2. As we went through the menus, you probably noticed that we're not doing those things anymore. There's no Dropbox. And we don't do that because if an app is available and accessible, we try to spend our time making things that aren't. Like, we know we need a specialized text editor. That's just never going to be easier than the things that we create. But there are lots of easy ways to access Dropbox, you know, not only the Dropbox app, there's something called DropSync. And, you know, again, I'm not going to expect you to know everything that I'm talking about, but this is the thing. There are different ways that you're going to handle mainstream services. This is one of the things that does sometimes throw people because they're like, why can't I just have my simple interface? There are a couple of reasons for that. One is that, you know, we do try to do things that are not available. The second thing is that, these services, if you remember when you used your U2, they would a lot of times go out because something would happen and they would update it and then it didn't work for us. So then we'd have to do a firmware update, blah, blah, blah. So by using the Android apps instead, we avoid that issue because everything's always up to date. And so it's actually a more consistent use case for you. And it's also usually a little more powerful because you don't have to wait for us to try to make our interfaces on top of what's available. You're getting it directly from the providers like Twitter or YouTube. So you have a lot more functionality, actually. The interface is going to be a little different. You are going to have to get used to it, but the functionality is... It's first of all, it's always going to be up to date. And second, it's a lot more powerful.
Yeah. And just when you mentioned the DropSync there, we use OneDrive at Sight & Sound, and I've discovered an app called OneSync. We'll talk lots more about apps on the last night. We discovered an app called OneSync. I think, Jenny, you had mentioned it to me originally. Uh-huh. Absolutely brilliant. So you can just copy things into folders on the BrailleSense 6 and it automatically syncs with your OneDrive and it's all very seamless. So if you look around, and as Jenny said, just like I guess any apps on platforms like this, they're some will work very well, some won't work as well, and you may have to dig around, and some might work at all because the app developers haven't built accessibility in. So okay, so we're very keen to take some questions. If you'd like to raise your hand, you can do Alt and Y, or you can type in the chat with Alt and H. And Daniel has asked for clarification on the Sync app. It's called OneSync. That's all one word, O-N-E-Sync. It'll pop up on Google, on the Play Store, rather. If you'd like to raise your hand, you can do so with Alt and Y. Or if you'd like to type in the chat, you can do so with Alt and H, and we'll happily unmute you, and you can ask your questions, all the hard questions for Jenny.
One thing before I start taking questions, one other thing I wanted to mention that I haven't covered, and I can't believe I didn't. One of the other things about having the BrailleSense 6 is the amount of peripherals you can connect. And I kind of forget about this because, you know, if you're coming from Polaris, but if you're coming from U2, this is a seriously big deal. in fact, right now, I'm using Zoom on my BrailleSense 6. I have a USB mixer connected. So I have everything. I'm not using a PC. I'm doing everything on the BrailleSense 6. And I even have my YouTube connected to the same mixer.
Document reader.
So
A.
You can actually hear both. I have something called loopback going on, so you're able to hear, you know, my BrailleSense 6. So yeah, I'm actually doing this modern stuff. I can share my screen so I could show you visually. I didn't because I don't think there's anyone that I needed to, but I can do that. I can even show a video. I've done that actually before on a webinar for Sight and Sound. So I can connect mixers. The other thing I can do is I can take videos because I can connect USB cameras. There are just, you know, I can connect to USB hubs and do all kinds of different things. The possibilities for enhancement are just amazing because the amount of peripherals supported. The other thing to know is that with both Polaris and BrailleSense 6, you can also show a full picture via a monitor. On the U2, you cannot. You might know that it's just basically showing what's on your Braille display. You actually can do a full graphical picture. So if you need to share work with a colleague or just show someone or ask someone something about what's going on, it's very, very easy to do that. We support USB portable monitors and just various things. So that's the other thing you get by upgrading to Android and specifically to BrailleSense 6 is just a ton of peripheral support that's just not even thought about on the U2.
Okay, we got a message from Daniel who was just saying if it was possible to see the screen because he is sighted and I know Daniel well. But actually, Daniel, you've missed nothing in terms of not seeing because we were just going through the main menu. So once we get into the nitty gritty of podcasts and all that next week, I'll make sure to share my screen as well. And we've one or two more people who've joined us just in the last couple of minutes as well. So you're all very welcome. We've kind of finished. Jenny's done a thorough demo of the main menu and explained a lot of the differences between the U2 and the BrailleSense 6 if you've skipped the upgrade of the Polaris and moved straight to the BrailleSense 6, then they are some of the changes. But now we're happy to throw it open to everybody. We're happy to open it up to anybody who has questions. So if you'd like to raise your hand, Alton Y, and we will bring you on to have a chat. And we'd love to hear your experiences of using the BrailleSense 6, if you are already. I know I recognize a couple of names of people who I think are using the BrailleSense 6. Did you come from a U2? Did you come from a Polaris? What are you doing with it? What do you like about it? Any feedback you'd like to give to Jenny? I'm sure she'd be delighted to hear it. So raise your hand, Alton Y to raise your hand, Alton H, if you want to chat. And quick reminder that next week we will be looking at podcasts. If you saw when Jenny was in the media menu, there was a podcast application, which Jenny, I think I'm correct in saying, because there's probably BrailleSense 6 users on the call who are saying, I don't see that in my BrailleSense. It's not with those guys just yet, or it's not?
No. So we are very, very close to releasing this. So we're going ahead and demoing it, but it is still in beta. So let's see, what is in the backup restore flash disk is in the new version. The podcast app is in the new version. The support for the Sense Bible is going to be in the new version. I know there are five things. I'm just not thinking. Oh, the document reader is also new to version, I don't know what we're going to call it for sure. I don't think we've decided yet, but yeah, this next upgrade is actually pretty significant as far as some of the things. We've also made camera support a little bit easier so that we're able to support things like Canopy Reader with external cameras. And so we've got a lot coming up in this new update.
Okay, brilliant. And the update will be there soon.
Yeah, I think a matter of weeks.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so we have an raised hand from Eden. I hope I pronounced your name
correctly.
Yeah,
you definitely got my name right.
Brilliant. So you're welcome, and good to have you here. You're from the US, I guess.
I am in the U.S. I'm in Vancouver, Washington.
Good. How can we help you?
Well, I don't know. I am a new BrailleSense 6 user, but definitely not a new HIMSS product user. I had a U2 for years, and I had tried the Polaris, briefly, and it was really slow. And I'm like, oh, I was really disappointed. But then I got a hold of a loaner of the BrailleSense 6, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to have this. So far, I'm really enjoying it. It's super fast. I can even do, I do chat work. I do readings online, like psychic readings, and I work on a chat app. A lot of times it would make errors. When I had my QBraille, it would make errors with my iPhone because of, you know, editing and stuff. And it's like so much improved. So I'm really happy. Although I will say that even with the connection to the iPhone, I thought my QBraille did reasonably well, but I noticed that with the Sense, the BrailleSense 6, it makes a lot less errors also. So now my QBraille has pretty much been relegated to the computer.
Okay, so you're liking the BrailleSense 6.
I am, but here is one question I have, and I feel stupid. I had downloaded Motweet when I borrowed a loaner unit, and I managed to install it. But for the life of me, I cannot figure out how to do it again. I know there's some setting, but I can't find it and don't know how to fix it. Like that you have to allow apps to sideload.
Actually though, it should give you that option right there.
I have a corrupted file because, when I click, if I put it in my files folder, like I got it out of Dropbox where I had it and I put it in my, file manager and all I did was hit enter and it's like, it did nothing.
Okay. So that I don't know.
Maybe I have a corrupted file. Maybe I need to find another download and downloading it. So it should give me that option.
Yeah, it should actually say something about you have to give permissions, and it'll give you the option to go to settings where you're able to enable that.
Yeah, permission. I thought I remember that. Maybe I just have a corrupted file, and maybe I'll try it again with that or the Kindle file, because I had downloaded both on my loaner unit and it was fine. Because, yeah, I don't so much enjoy. I listened to your webinar about tweeting, so I was trying to do that. And that's the other interesting thing on tweetings. When you mentioned going to the settings, when I try to go into the settings, it jumps around and only like shows me two or three different categories of settings and then like throws me completely out.
I haven't tried it recently.
There's a problem. Maybe that's what it, maybe it there, could be. That's what I was wondering, because I could have sworn I had looked at it a long time ago with the Braille Note Touch and it wasn't doing that. So, and it didn't look anything like what you said. So that's why I was going to ask you.
Okay. So of course there are, apps, you know, when apps update, you know, we don't know.
Yep.
Every
I know. No complaints. This is not a complaint at all. I know
I'm not taking it that way. So when you're in a list of something like that, like your settings, you said you can only see two or three. One way to get past it is to use space 345 is the page down. So if for some reason it's not navigating you through the list and you need to actually, you have to be in the list area, but if you try it within that, you might be able to get to the additional settings that
I'll try that and see what happens. I wasn't sure if that would make it. It didn't seem like it should be long enough of a list that it would do that, but I will try and see if that makes some sense. So thank you. Like I said, otherwise it's a great unit. I look forward to the update, because the one thing I do notice is I could have sworn the web radio on the YouTube used to show me the artist name and title. Is that not a thing, or am I imagining that?
We fixed that in the beta.
I can't wait.
Eden, I'm gonna, because we have a few more hands raised.
Thank you very much, Jenny.
Brilliant. No, that was Eden. I'm going to go to Kerry Greenfield, and then we're going to go to Matthew Horspool. So Kerry's in New Zealand, and Matthew, of course, is in the UK. So Kerry, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Oh, am I still muted? Okay.
We can hear you now. We have you.
Okay. Well, we did. can you hear me now?
We can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I noticed with the Sense Bible, it seems to be different on the Polaris than the U2 one in some ways. Like some of the abbreviations are different. And I'm just wondering, can you please explain more about the differences?
I mean, we've updated it, yeah, and we've cleaned it up, but that's really all we've done. There aren't any major differences. I don't think that, like, the book abbreviations and stuff, those should be the same. But you're right, some of the menus are a little different. The Sense Bible, the original one, was created like 10 years ago. So we did try to clean it up and make it a little bit more consistent, a little bit easier. To make the window movement make sense. And we tried to, like I said, make things a little bit more updated and a little more consistent.
Yes, thank you, Jenny. I'm looking forward to the one on the BS6. It'll be really cool because I found some of the Android Bible apps weren't as accessible.
Oh no, they're not. They're definitely not as easy to use. We had so many requests for that, for the Sense Bible. If you have used it on Polaris, it'll be the same on Braille Sense 6, except it just is faster.
Cool, thank you. I just got another question, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yep.
I love the way the U2 records, you know, with the built-in mic. It just sounds so clear. And I noticed when the Polaris first came out, the recordings were lovely but very faint. And then with the upgrade, they were a lot louder but could get distorted. And then I've noticed with the BS6, the recordings are really nice but a little bit faint. Are you going to bring in like media settings so that we can alter the mic decibels and a few more things?
Yes. So in the next release and also in beta, so first of all, we fixed some of the, you probably hear there's a noise cancellation filter that's kind of really active. We've turned that off. We also give you mic volume options. I have to say though, with the Braille Sense 6, because it does support USB microphones, I actually prefer to use external stuff because there's so much available. Something like the Zoom AM7, for example, is a USB-C mic. It's a totally pocket mic, but I like something like that because it's just, I think it's quieter. It's got a lot of different settings. So I love, if I'm going to do a lot with audio, I actually prefer to use external stuff, but yeah, you're right. This is going to improve quite a bit in your next release in a few weeks.
I think Jenny, it's worth flagging a podcast Jenny did a while ago where she explored a whole rake of external peripherals, including several mics. It's really, really good. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that too. So I think if anyone's wanting to look at what external mics work on there, and you went through a whole load of price points as well, Jenny, which was really helpful, I think, for people. Kerry, thank you for your question and thanks for coming along.
Thank you, Stuart.
Okay, that was Kerry. And now we're going to go to Matthew, who is in the UK. So hopefully you can, here we go. We got you, Matthew.
Yes, indeed. Good evening, Stuart. Good evening, Jenny. Good evening, everyone. Jenny, I met you very briefly at Sight Village London just before the lockdown. So it's good to be here.
At Dave Williams?
Those guys were doing the podcast.
I was with Dave Williams. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. I do remember you. Okay.
Oh dear. So I'm here because dare I say it, I was a HumanWare user for a long time, as in, you know, right the way from Braille Companion right the way through to the Braille Note Apex, and never went to the Braille Note Touch because I like the Apex too much. And so really the Braille Sense 6 I bought to replace my Braille Note Apex, and I'm trying to use it like a Braille Note Apex, and of course it's not working because it's because it's not a Braille Note Apex. So I've got some adjustments to learn, which I'll learn in my own time and kind of feel my way through. But there's one thing I've somehow managed to do, and I have no idea how I've managed to do it, and it's actually quite a showstopper. I've somehow managed to set an alarm for a very early time in the morning.
Oh, no.
And it keeps ringing, and I've been through every setting in the book and cannot figure out how to turn it off, which means I can't leave the thing charged because it wakes me up early in the morning. Do you have any idea how I might have done it and how on earth to turn this alarm off?
Okay, so there's nothing actually in your alarm app, right?
Well, I haven't quite worked out how to get to the alarm app, I don't think. And it's in the battery flat at the moment so that it doesn't wake me up tomorrow morning.
No, in
file manager.
So if you go to the utilities menu,
calculator,
there's alarm.
Real set display time, world clock, display compass, wake up alarm, A.
Here. And if you have, when you press enter here,
no items, list item.
I have none. But if you have alarms set and they're in here, it should list them. The only problem is that's not the only place where you might be getting this. The other thing that you might have, it could be related to some appointment in your calendar. So one thing to do, if you go
file manager, F,
I'm going to
address manager,
A,
schedule calendar, Friday, October 5th.
Okay. So I've opened up the schedule manager and it's giving me the calendar view. If you do, hang on. I always forget. What?
Add appointment. I don't even dialogue enter I menu. Search appointments. Search appointments dialog. Search date Friday, October 5th.
Okay, so you can search your appointments, and if you search by subject, you can search by date or by subject. If you search by subject and you press enter, it will show you all of the appointments in your calendar. So there may be something, some recurring appointment that you don't remember or you don't know, but that might be one way to find it.
I don't imagine
I don't know. Like, it could be something that's synchronized from something else too. It's really hard to know, but that's not a normal occurrence, I can tell you.
No, I'm sure it isn't. And it's very frustrating. But yeah, okay, I'll go and look at some of that stuff. I don't suppose if it is synchronized from somewhere else, I don't suppose you know how to figure that out and stop it from synchronizing or delete what's been synchronized.
Yeah, you can. So that's why if you want to search your calendar, and like I said, if you search by subject and just press enter, it'll list all of the appointments in your calendar. So if you find it, then yeah, you can delete it, and you have the option of deleting like the current one or the whole recurrence, the whole series. You should be able to get rid of it if you can locate it.
And it says it's an alarm, and it definitely says it's an alarm. I'm not convinced it's from the calendar, but I'll have a look, because at this point, anything's better than what I've managed to do so far.
That's so strange. Wow. But yeah, if it's an actual alarm, it should show up in your alarm program. And as soon as you open it, it should give you the list of the alarms that are set.
Yeah. Is there an Android clock? Would that have, like, if I've accidentally set an alarm through Google Assistant or something like that, which I don't think I have, but if I do that, will that show up in the alarms app?
Sure. Not in the alarms app, but in the calendar. Either way, it will sound yes. And I've had that happen to me where I logged into something like Outlook, and it was giving me alarms for appointments that I didn't remember synchronizing. And that's how I figured out that it would do that. So yes, that is definitely possible. That's what I'm saying. It could have synchronized from something else. But in that case, you'll find it in the calendar.
I'll have a look. Is it easy to tell whether a calendar's got an alarm attached to it? Because, I mean, everything's got reminders, right? So reminders are not the same as alarms, I guess.
Yes, you can. So if you check the appointment information, it will tell you that there's an alarm like 10 minutes before, and you can modify the appointment and turn that off. So
when the alarm goes off, does it not tell you what
it's for? Yeah, doesn't it tell you what it's for?
No, but this is what I mean. It's not a reminder. It's not going ding-a-ling and then stopping. It's going ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling until the battery dies or until I stop it. But like, I can't. Yeah, it's a proper alarm. It's not a,
well, then
it's not a reminder.
That's definitely in the alarms app. In
YouTube, I think.
I think that's definitely in there.
Yeah, if it was a reminder, I'd sleep through it.
Well, you might with the cuckoo sound it makes. I don't know. You might, but I think that's in the clock. That's in the alarm.
That's true. It's going cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. But it's a very consistent night.
Because the cuckoo, if it's a calendar, will tell you, pop up a little thing, what the appointment is for.
Right. It'll you'll see it on the Braille display too. So it'll say like.
Right, but you know. But does it keep going or does it stop after a bit?
Well, it depends on how you have it set. But usually, yeah, it'll sound a few times. So it'll go for like a minute and then it'll wait and then it'll do it again. So yeah, it's just a matter of figuring out what it is, but either way, you should be able to get rid of it.
Okay. So I'll stop hogging the floor in a second, but I'm a bit confused then about, is there because on the iPhone, a calendar will pop up a reminder. And it is just a reminder. So can I make it do a reminder instead of an alarm, or is the, will it always do an alarm if there's a reminder set?
Yeah, I don't think it does always sound an alarm. It's okay. True.
So for every appointment on my calendar that I've got a reminder so that my phone will sound the reminder, I'll get an alarm on the Braille Sense.
Yes, but you can change like the sound. You can have it just do a vibration. So you can change that. If you change what they call the alarm bell, you could change it to just do a vibration or, you know, various things. So it doesn't actually keep doing that. So okay, it's all configurable. And I'm sorry, handy. This is so not an easy question. It's super configurable. So
where is the setting? And I'll leave you alone. Where is the setting for the alarm bell? Because I think that this may be the problem.
Okay, hold on a second.
Toggle search mode. Enter F menu.
If there's anybody else with hands up, I'm really sorry.
No, there's nobody at the moment anyway, Matthew, so you're...
cancel. Search date, Friday. Solar calendar, Friday. Add appointment, enter I menu item.
If you're in your schedule manager and you go in the menu, you've got...
Search appointment, delete all calendar setting, print appointments, save appointment, set date and time, set alarm options, set backup options.
Set alarm options. Yeah, that would be a good place to look.
Set alarm options dialog, and then type of echo, bell radio button.
I can probably figure it from there. That will teach me to look in the menus before I ask for help. I can fathom it from there. Okay. Thank you very much. Sorry to hog the floor for so long.
No, thanks for the question, Matthew. I think it's a good, I hope you don't get woken up tomorrow by your alarm.
I'll put it on charge. And if I get woken up, I should be sending an email saying it.
Let us know if it didn't fix. Yeah. Tell us definitely.
Brilliant.
Okay, thanks Matthew. Much. Cheers. Okay, last chance if anyone has any questions, if you want to raise your hand, if you'd like to ask anything. We really appreciate people sticking around for the last hour. I hope it's been useful for you, our first session. Please come back next week because we're going to talk about podcasts. We'll make sure to give Matthew's Braillist podcast a big shout and Jenny's podcast, of course, as well. And if you have a favorite podcast, tell us about it next week. So last chance for
Jenny. I was just going to say, we do have a podcast actually, and most of many things are covering Braille Sense 6. It's called SenseCast. It's actually just our international podcast from HIMSS. As I said, a lot of things are recently about Braille Sense 6. We'll be doing another podcast on the update. And when Stuart shows you the podcast app next week, SenseCast is actually one of the defaults. However, you can easily delete it. So not a problem if you can delete any of the defaults. But just if there's something, again, that's another resource as far as getting more information about Braille Sense 6. As Stuart mentioned, we do have a YouTube channel. HIMSS Inc. has a YouTube channel. So again, many, many resources available to you.
Thanks, Jenny. And thanks, Daniel, for your nice message in chat. Daniel's thanking us. So thanks very much, Daniel. John Gallagher says, thanks a million. John still has a Gmail problem, but John, I think we might have good news on that very soon. So could we sit tight, I think, for a little while, because it might be very good news very soon. That's it for the first session. Jenny, thank you so much. 5 a.m. for you, so get some more rest. And Jenny will be back with us on our last session on the 11th of November. You're going to come back?
Yes.
Brilliant, brilliant. Absolutely. We're looking forward to having you back. Join us again next week, Thursday night, 21st of October, when we're going to be talking about podcasts. That's at 8 p.m. Here in Ireland and in the UK. And we look forward to talking to you then. And have a nice evening, or in the case of our friends in New Zealand, have a good day. And Jenny, get some rest before you have to get up again. And thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.